Hi everyone, I'm Cesar Carcinoiu and today I'm going to present to you the topic of Unicraft performance monitoring with Prometheus. As there are quite a lot of interesting words in the title, let's take them all one by one and see what everything is all about. First of all, let's talk about the Unicraft unikernel. Unicraft is an open source unikernel which is part of the Linux Foundation and the Zen project. Its code is fully accessible on GitHub and is licensed under the BSD 3 clause. More specifically, Unicraft falls into the category of library operating systems. This category signals that most of the components of the created image can be turned on and off. With this, resulted images offer great specialization containing no unused components. Moreover, the number of applications has increased substantially lately. This created a need to actively see how each application fares inside Unicraft, compared to a standard kernel like Linux. And of course, one of the biggest advantages is the very active community. From releases every 2 months to new contributors every season and even its own Summer of Code event. Thus, Unicraft is an ecosystem best suited for ambitious projects. You may have noticed the word unikernel several times, but what does it actually mean? Imagine running an application inside a classic operating system running a monolithic kernel. This type of system tries to cover as many use cases as possible to ensure that most applications run out of the box. This is good for convenience, but in many other cases like deploying machines inside the cloud, it offers more downsides than upsides. As such, Unicraft takes only the essential parts of the full stack application and bundles them up together. Everything then goes through the Unicraft build system and a final Unicraft image is obtained. This contains only what the application requires and reduces the size of the image from several gigabytes to several megabytes. Finally, this can be run like a virtual machine over a hypervisor using the platform of choice, for example KVM, Xen and others. Of course, this final unikernel image offers much more than just a reduced size. First of all, specializing your image starts right from the compilation step of the build. This allows cutting down everything you don't need. This, as stated before, greatly reduces the size of the virtual machines, and another important aspect of unikernel is their single address space characteristics. This means that there is no more kernel space user space separation. This may sound dangerous, but because of the image is cut down to a bare minimum, the attack vector does not actually increase. This goes hand in hand with the removal of syscalls. They still exist, of course, for compatibility, but they behave exactly like a function call. Because there is no switch from kernel mode to user mode, performance increases significantly. As said before, only the necessary functionality is kept, which means no other daemons, no potentially vulnerable system libraries, and certainly no SSH. The image is as sealed as possible. Finally, the code is platform and hardware specific, meaning that once again there is no unnecessary code left in and performance is squeezed to a maximum. So, everything presented before focuses on specialization and creating an environment as sealed as possible. But if the image is so sealed, how can we hope to monitor it? Well, here Prometheus comes in. As you may know, Prometheus is a tool used for time series monitoring of different aspects of a system. As such, you can monitor different machines with different measure parameters and even compose parameters. But what is the main advantage of Prometheus in our case? Is that we can record any type of writable data anytime an instance is brought up anywhere in the world, as long as it have its address, of course. By fulfilling all of these requirements, we can say that Prometheus is the best fit for monitoring small instances running in the cloud. Moreover, because data exposed is transmitted through HTTP, decoupling is kept at a minimum. Let's go a bit more into detail here and see how exactly the Prometheus ecosystem functions. Looking at the Prometheus architecture, we have a central server with a time series database to store data, a retrieval system to extract data, and an HTTP server to expose information. The retrieval system pulls metrics from the exporter and the HTTP server offers data to the web UI and even Grafana instances to be shown. Moreover, it offers alerts for notification and more importantly, it can auto-discover and track machines started in Kubernetes clusters. Where does this Unicraft stand in all of this? Well, being an exporter of information, it will be in the group of exporters, of course. Inside our usual environment, we have a central Prometheus server and several Unicraft instances running at the same time. This talks to the server through HTTP connections, and of course at the same time people can access the server to see data. We now have all the details we need to build our environment. Let's see what we need to do to make Unicraft actually export information. We start from its core. This includes components from the main Unicraft repository and offer basic functionality of making everything work. Here we identify several useful information generators, and these includes some that already exist, others that were added as part of the project, and others that have no current implementation. We implement an intermediary library to mediate access to information generators and connect them to it. Then we step out of the Unicraft core and implement a collector of data to make the calls to UK Store. This gives the data to a C formatter, which was implemented by DigitalOcean, and passes the formatted message to a re-implemented trimmed-down micro HTTP library. The HTTP server exports the information and everyone is happy. Let's now go through each part of the project and explore them step by step. First of all, the information generators. These are pretty straightforward. From a top-down view, these just fill in data through getters and we can use it afterwards. They are the main target in our case, as they offer performance information about the system running. In the case of network metrics, it fills a structure with information similar to the one available inside procfs regarding the network. This information can be retrieved afterwards through a getter function. So that's all that there is. Moving on to the next component, we arrive at UK Store. UK Store is a function storage library where functions are stored and then they can be called to send and retrieve data. The need came from a lack of uniform access to these getters and setters. UK Store comes in and makes sure you can have a named direct access to them. The proposed method comes in with two data structuring methods, a static one and a dynamic one. Both store data in the memory of the library where getters and setters are. Then the static structure saves the data in compiler-generated data sections. On the other hand, the dynamic ones create a folder list per each library. This list contains folders, of course, and each folder contains a list of folder entries. Finally, both of them store the entry itself, which contains the getter or setter. As such, we can say that, from an outside perspective, the functionality is identical, but the use cases for each one are different, and also the performance overhead is different. In the first structure, everything is generated at compile time, and thus it is static. In the second one, you have to do memory allocation at runtime, and also you have to traverse folders to get to an entry. Both types of structures are inside UK Store and can be used to pass information to and from the system. Now, how do we link our created generator to UK Store? Well, that's what UK Store is all about. First, we need to create a compliant getter, if it's not already available. Here, because the original getter returned a specific data structure, we need to create one using an unsigned pointer to avoid too much casting and possible warnings. Then, but usually at the start of the file, of course, we include UK Store. Finally, we create a static entry named EN0 metric sol, which gives a U pointer and uses the getter UK net dev metrics get all and no setter because we already have a getter. In the case you're wondering, UK Store uses all of the basic data types. Usually you would have an entry for each field, but because we use in our experiment all the metrics, we just use a U pointer. By doing this, we have now connected the generators to UK Store. Let's move on to its basic usage. Why go through all this hassle just to call a getter or setter? Well, in most cases, when looking for a specific function, you may have a hard time finding what you look for. That's why you should always read documentation. But still, instead of browsing a large documentation, you can just look up a table of available exposed data so you can see what you need. So let's see how we can access a function. Well, first we need a place to store the pointer to an entry. Then we search for the entry inside libuknetdev in the root folder, which is null, and we look for an entry named en0metricsall. With the entry found, we retrieve the value from it, save it, and use it. And finally, when we no longer need it, we free it. We can finally move on from UK Store and onto the next step, which is the Prometheus Scraper itself. This step also includes the formatter offered by DigitalOcean. First, we have all the library external sources for Prometheus, to which we add our custom-made cut-down micro HTTP as a dependency. And finally, we add some glue code to put everything together and add it to Unicraft. Everything goes into the build system and out comes a Prometheus library object file. Finally, this is passed to the rest of the build and the image is created. And right now, it is safe to say that we can add another piece to our implementation, that is the Prometheus scraper and formatter. But wait, you may have noticed me saying several times that micro HTTP that was used was re-implemented. How did this happen? Well, the scraper and formatter only used around 5 of the functions from micro HTTP, everything else being compiled time optimized out. Moreover, because the license for micro HTTP is LGPL, we cannot compile it in directly, as that would have been incompatible with the BSD3 clause that Unicraft uses. All of this led to a custom trimmed down re-implementation of the calls to micro HTTP, which proved to be just as fast as the original one in our case. Moving on to the HTTP server, which is the last part of our implementation. It was made to run in parallel with the monitored application. As an overview, Prometheus encapsulates the execution of the application, so first Unicraft boots up, then the application starts by entering main, and afterwards Prometheus is initialized and it starts HTTP server running in parallel. Then the magic of the application happens, and on the cleanup part, everything inside Prometheus is clean and the server is stopped. Then the application ends and Unicraft is halted. So finally we can add our last part of the model, the HTTP server, and all is good. We have all the pieces needed to fire it up. So let's see how we did it. When building our testing environment, we didn't go for anything fancy. We wanted to highlight that Prometheus is made to work over any network conditions and is largely unaffected by speed. So we start with the usual router and we add to it a laptop which bridges a connection to a Unicraft instance under test. On the laptop we run the request to the Nginx server on the Unicraft instance. At the same time there's another PC in the network running Prometheus and inside a virtual machine. And finally yet another PC running a Grafana instance to display live plots. You may ask, why go through all this overhead at the same time reducing the response speed? Well, through this setup, we highlight that the Prometheus environment was built to be as decoupled as possible, everything being done with usual HTTP. At the same time, we underline that Unicraft instances behave all the same to a usual server when checking them from the outside. So that makes actually sense. Now, before seeing how fast it goes, let's see if it actually works. By accessing the Unicraft instance directly, we can see that we get all the data from the Prometheus instance inside Unicraft formatted nicely. Then we add the plots to Grafana and we can actually get the data. As such, we can conclude that the testing system works in usual conditions. With everything in place, we can create all the plots we want to get out of the system. Here we can see the response of the instance to a stress test of request to the Nginx server. It returns a page that is 7 megabytes big. But do not worry, this is not all of the data you can display. There is more, much more, quite a lot. But that is actually what we want, to get and see the data about the instance as much as possible. Finally, we can move on to see some performance results. We will look at how UK Store and Prometheus impacts performance as opposed to directly accessing data and printing it to the console. We use a Unicraft instance with no monitoring as a comparison between the four cases. Here we have the median response time for a request. We can see that using Prometheus greatly outperforms logging data to the console, but this was to be expected. What is actually nice to see is that compared to the no monitoring case, Prometheus adds no extra delay. So we reach the ideal case in the request speed. Moving on to the maximum memory used, it's clear that Prometheus uses quite a lot more RAM than expected. But this might just be because the default memory allocator was used. Still, it's just 10 megabytes, so we can say that it is decent. For another set of tests, we looked at the boot time and the image size in each case. For the boot time, we can see that there is no clear winner as to what is better. So we can say that everything is good, all the cases are good. In the case of the image size, it is safe to say that the presence of Prometheus is there. We can see a difference, but it's not that big and it is acceptable. So let's draw some conclusions from all these plots. We can say that Prometheus and Unicraft are actually a good match, and the impact of Prometheus on the speed of Nginx is minimal, even on the highest speed of 1 second. And finally, our third goal is reached. Decoupling is maintained, the instance remaining as sealed as possible. What's next? Well, there's a ton of work to be done around Prometheus in Unicraft. As you might remember, there's a lot of parts of Unicraft not instrumented that would benefit from exporting the data and instrumenting it. And we also identified 3 more big projects worth undertaking. That is, first, the integration of Unicraft with a similar system to ProcFS. That is because most Prometheus exporters already use ProcFS for their default functionality. But then we also have Kubernetes, which is a perfect match for Prometheus. And finally, we can always further expand the Unicraft already existing CI/CD system to include a Prometheus exporter. So there's a lot to be done. Taking them one by one, first, ProcFS is a big project currently underway inside Unicraft. Progress has been slow, as the full design of it can be cumbersome and requires a lot of engineering effort to implement. That is why UK Store was tackled first. Still, the goal is to have ProcFS fully integrated inside Unicraft and to enable Prometheus to use all of its features, but also enable users and applications alike to interact with an already familiar interface. Next up, work has already been done to integrate Unicraft with Kubernetes, and it is actually partly completed. And as you remember, Prometheus has a great integration with Kubernetes. By just running a command, you can get it running inside your Kubernetes cluster. This feature of Prometheus also offers auto-scaling, which means that the Unicraft instances can be created and destroyed on the run depending on the load. And because Unicraft boots incredibly fast, this can really be advantageous. Finally, the Unicraft CI/CD system would benefit a lot from a Prometheus integration. The system is already in place. It builds and checks and looks at the PRs and the adds tested by tags for each one of them. But builds would benefit from another performance verification of each PR to ensure that speed is not decreased. And of course, by using an already developed tool like Prometheus, reliable functionality is assured. This concludes my presentation. Please look up Unicraft, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me.
Yeah, so if you have any questions, post them in the Slack, in the chat. We will answer them in this Q&A session. So far, there were no questions posted. So, but maybe we can start with, you know, I would be curious, like, as you implemented this, what are typical use cases or users, or like, are there people out there using Unicraft kernels with Prometheus enabled, and what do they monitor?
Yeah, so the first and most, let's say, easy or the thing that we are going for is to, as I said in the further work, is to integrate this into the Unicraft CI/CD pipeline, because it's still under works and it could actually use some Prometheus monitoring. And I guess any Unicraft instance that is deployed into production could actually use monitoring, of course. that's the whole thing. You deploy something and you want to see how well it goes.
that is true. Did you have any those stories of things that you discovered in monitoring that would be hard to discover without this feature?
It was actually nice to see how different allocators allocate memory. That was the first thing I saw after getting everything working, because for the allocation side, there's some interesting things that go. Basically, the allocators, you can see how they analyze when they need to free memory and when they're not, because when you call a free or delete or something, whatever the programming language, it's not actually deleted right then. So you can actually see the inner workings live each second. That was the most, direct thing. It just popped there in the image.
That sounds pretty cool. Sounds really, really like a really useful feature.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you can compare each one.
Yeah. So looking at the chat, I think there is no, there are no further questions. So
I think I stunned them.
You stunned them. Everyone is just amazed that this is possible. That's good. Yeah. So let's give them another 30 seconds or so. Maybe somebody's coming up typing something.
Sure.
Apart from that, I mean, I think this kind of virtual experience is pretty good, like as virtual conferences go. So it's really cool, like what Fostem is able to set up with the videos and live QA and chat and so forth. But
yeah,
still hoping that next year we can meet again in person and have an actual Fostem in Brussels. That would be even better.
Yeah, I had it all day on my second monitor there, just playing videos.
Cool. Okay, so then I guess there's no more questions coming. So then thanks a lot for your presentation. It was really interesting.
Thank you.
And yeah, so there's one more talk going on in this dev room on OpenTelemetry. And apart from that, have a good day. And thanks very much.
Bye. Bye-bye. Good day.